Amen. Giving honor to God, who's the head of my life, to deacons, mothers, trustees, everyone in their respective places. I thank God for allowing us to assemble into the house of prayer. Amen. It's a blessing to be here. Amen. Thank our musicians for their faithfulness. Thank our choir for the selection that they rendered. Amen. Songs are what you get when you go to a restaurant. You get that appetizer before the meal. The songs are preparing us and getting us into worship mode. Amen. Amen. Also, my wife is not here. We have a little one that is under the weather. She's been sick for quite a few days now. But the fever goes up, down, up, down. And we're doing everything we know to do. She's been to the doctor. We prayed. We've done everything. So we're just keeping her in your prayers as we try to deal with this. It's been lingering on for longer than what I anticipated. But one thing I can tell you about Sabrina, that little girl is a fighter. I mean, you can't really tell when she's sick. You have to actually look at her. And you have to look in her eyes and you have to tell. And that's how we discovered that she was sick. I mean, when I tell you, we look at her size and say she's small and petite, but man, that girl is tough. She's a toughness, and she fights, you know, but we are keeping her lifted up, so keep that temperature down with her. And then, also not to forget, you know, Mother Gloria, she hasn't been here in a while. We need to keep her in our prayers. We know she had surgery. We know she's recovering. So we definitely want to keep her lifted up in our prayers. Amen. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6. I get this question asked to me all the time, and my response is still the same. People ask me, do you know what you're going to preach on Sunday? The answer is no. My sermons are not pre-planned. I just listen to the voice of God as he touches my heart, tells me what to preach about. And I'm saying that to say that if I preach what I want to preach, it's not going to be as effective. Because if we ate what we want to eat, it won't be effective. Amen? Because we'll just eat all the sweets and the sugary stuff. But those things that we need to keep us going, we don't want it. So, no, I do not have a pre-planned sermon. I just listen to God, and God tell me to preach. I study, and this is where we go. Amen. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1 through 4. Are we there? Amen. I'm reading from the King James Version. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Amen. May God bless the readers, hearers, and doers of his word. We are living in a time when God is being humanized. Genders are pretty much being neutralized. Marriage is being excluded, and children are being victimized. Family seems to be less important now. Fathers are being portrayed as no good. Mothers are being insignificant. Roles in the homes are suffering, and God's order is being vandalized. Amen. As God looked down on the children of Israel, he had all the people. People want to know, why did God choose Israel? He chose Israel because he chose Israel. It's kind of like what your mama said, because I said so. He chose Israel because he wanted Israel. That's his choice. He's God. But see, the thing that God knows, he chose Israel because we all, regardless of what race we may be, we all act alike. Amen? We all are the same. So he chose Israel, but he had all the nations and all generations in mind. God's command to honor our parents is consistent with his divine order. He knows what is best for us. He made us, and he loves us. This is why he issues this command and connects the promise into his basic plan for mankind. Just as we will live forever because we honor the Lord our God, so it is that we are given the promise of a well-lived, fruitful, and happy life when we honor our parents. Amen. We are to honor the one who created us and honor those who were chosen to carry out God's plan for our creation, which is our fathers and our mothers. The text is not only a word for children, but is a word for all of us. Amen. So I know we look at children obey your parents, but you that are adults, you have parents, you still obey them. Amen? So nothing has changed. Honor thy father and thy mother. That is not just, again, for the children. Each of us has a responsibility to honor our parents, our father and our mother. No pastor or elder would be able to teach a child obedience if that child's parents have not worked to teach their child obedience. You cannot put that responsibility on the pastor. Amen? It starts at home. I remember working, and we had this big event. And we were planning this big event at the JJK Center. And I saw parents, it was for parents and children, but parents was driving up, said, hey, how long y'all gonna be? I said, oh, it's from this time to this time, you know, from like 12 to 3. All right, y'all get out, I'll be back, pick y'all up. Parents was just driving off. Basically, it turned into a big daycare center. The event was for parents and children. But the parents pulled up, dropped them off, drove off. Every car was just about doing it. Now, there were some parents that are involved in their children's life. They got out and parked, and they went in. My point is, you are responsible for your children's upbringing. Sometimes parents think that the church can turn around that wayward child. And by God's grace, sometimes that is the case. But if the child has not been brought up and know and obey God's law, if obedience has not been enforced at home, by the discipline, then it's not likely that there will be able to anyone will be able to teach your child obedience either. You know, my son is growing up, and I'm spending a lot of time with him. He wants to play sports. I can't just say to my son, okay, let's just go sign you up, go out there and play. Leave it up to the coach. That's a dangerous thing to do. How dangerous? Well, let's just say he playing baseball. He don't know to wear a helmet. He go up there to bat, he get hit in the head. Anything could happen. Why? Because I ain't teaching. I'm leaving that up to the coach. You do all of those things. Here, go out there and play. I pay for it, and I expect for the coach to do his job. No, it starts at home. At home, I spend time with him, telling him that if somebody has a bat in their hand, do not be around them. Because if they swing it, you could get hit with it. So I'm teaching him fundamentals that I cannot rely on the coach to teach that to my child. That's my responsibility. I'm spending time with him. I'm teaching him how to play this sport. I'm telling him how to approach the plate, how to bat, what to look out for, how to protect yourself. These are things that I'm doing with him. Even when we switch over to a different sport and playing basketball, which is he's involved in as well, I'm teaching him that as well. We cannot throw it off, our child off on somebody else and expect for them to raise them. What I'm saying is it starts at home. God expects each of us to obey our parents and give them honor. God expects each of us to respect and do his will. He expects us to take our child and raise them up, teach them. You cannot just throw it off on the church. You cannot just throw it off on anybody. You have to spend quality time with your children. So what does it mean to honor your father and mother? Give respect. That's what it means. Honoring our father and mother is hard these days because we live in an age of disrespect. I remember one time, I never forget it. It stays in my mind. When I was working down at the Windsor building and we were inside of the office, and there was a commotion going on in the hallway. And next thing you know, we heard a loud boom. So imagine we all heard this. So we all run out there to see what's going on. It was the daughter standing over the mother. Confrontation happened in the hallway. She body slammed her mother. Listen to what I'm telling you. Disrespectful. In our society, youth is glorified and old age is seen as something to avoid at all costs. Look at the advertisement on TV. I'm going to try to tell y'all how Satan is deprogramming us off of God's word and programming us with his word. Look at television. You all see it. This is not me. You see it. When you look at commercials, what do commercials do? They make the parents look like idiots compared to children. Am I right? Oh, I know I'm right because I know what I'm looking at. It makes the parents seem like they're incapable of parenting. And it makes the child look as if they're above the parents. Y'all don't see Satan in this? If you don't see Satan in this, I'm sorry, but you're not spiritual yet. You're still human. Were you thinking human ways? You need to think both spiritual and human. I'm telling you, they are deprogramming you to make you think, well, you know, children, you know. No, that should not be that way. But it is. And all it's doing is programming you to believe that is true. And so therefore, You see these TV commercials and you see these movies, they portray these children as being intelligent. And parents tend to be the idiots. And don't let a dad be in the commercial. The dad, let me tell you something. God has ordained the head, which is the authority figure. That's the dad. But watch how the dad is portrayed in any one of these movies. It makes the dad look below dirt, as if he doesn't know anything, that he is a child himself. And everybody else in the household is above him. Y'all ever see that? Because I know I'm watching it. And I'm looking at, now people say, oh, Pastor, you're taking it too far. No, the devil is taking it too far. All I'm doing is preaching what he's teaching. So here you see the devil is programming us to think that children are superior and that parents are underneath them. God commands that we honor our father and our mother. Y'all know, let me say this. So you got to give people scripture for people to really understand, like you let them know you're not really saying your words. But let me show you what they did, how they handled disobedient children in the Bible days. Y'all don't hear much about children back then. There's a reason why. It was how they dealt with children back then. Deuteronomy chapter 21. Let me show you why you didn't hear much from children. Deuteronomy chapter 21, verse 18. If a man have a stubborn and rebellious son, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that we, when they have chastised him, will not hearken unto them, then shall his father and his mother lay hold on him and bring him out unto the elders of the city and unto the gate of his place. And they shall say unto the elders of the city, this our son is stubborn and rebellious. He will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard. And all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So shall they put evil away from among you. And all Israel shall hear and fear. They were putting it away. They done with it. That was under the Mosaic law. Now, y'all don't know what I'm talking about. You need to study. That was under the Mosaic law. That's how they dealt with children. In other words, back then, it was one of those things where I wish you would. You didn't play with parents back then. You knew your place. You thought you, I probably would have been one of the ones that they took to the father, because I talk back. I've been like, oh, I've been going up there like this. I know I would have went. And I would have been done. It wouldn't have been no more about me. But, you know, I guess the other children, maybe they were looking at that and saying, ooh, they don't want to get that. But my point is, during Old Testament time, disobedience to parents was considered to be punishable by death. This verse is not to scare you, okay? But it's to show you what happened when children failed to obey their parents. Our generation desperately needs to learn what it means to obey parents. Children would always, always push against the limits placed by their parents to see if they move. Y'all remember when you were children? Did you push the limits? I'm going to tell you something. That's not going to change when you have children. They're going to push it. Man, the stuff that I did, you know, when my mom, she worked swing shift. I was very clever. My mom worked swing shift. So, and I'm going to tell you how I was thinking as a child.
I knew she was tired. I knew she wanted to go to sleep. So guess what I did? I would say, Mom, can I get a snack? She said, yes, you can get one. She went on to sleep. I got the snack. They kept the, see back then, you didn't keep the snacks out. You kept them in, they kept the snacks in their room in the closet where they can control it. I knew this. So I went back to my mom again. Waited a little while. And said, Mom, can I get a snack? Boy, I said, yeah, you can get a snack. That's two. Now I got two. Boy, I'm living good. Then I wanted a third one. My point is, I was clever in how I was doing it. As long as she said yes, I wasn't disobedient. Y'all following what I'm saying? But it was wrong in how I did it. But I did say, well, Mama, you did say yes. But she didn't know what she was saying yes to. Understand what I'm saying? I was clever. I was pushing the limits. So I know if I pushed the limits when I was a child, the children, that the kids that age will also push the limits. All they're doing is constantly wearing you down. That's what they're doing today. That's why it's important to have a mother and a father. Because when one wears down, the other one is ready to go. Double team. You understand what I'm saying? Double team them. So this is why I tell women, when that boy gets up to a certain age, the best thing for you to do is hand him over to the daddy. You ain't going to be able to handle him. I don't care if you are the Golden Glove champion. You got to turn him over to that man. Because when you start beating up on this boy, what you're doing is programming him. Listen, ladies, you're programming him to beat on a woman when he gets older. You don't think you are? Because what you're doing is training him. When you're coming at him, but want to do something to him, you're programming him in his mind when he sees a woman coming at him, could be his wife. You're training him to, because you have instilled that in him. But it'd be different if a man came, he already knows to be on guard. It will look different from a woman. But ladies, I promise you, the best thing you can do is hand him over to that man. Let that man raise him. You can't. I remember this lady at work. She said, "My boys are hard to train. They just, you know, girls are easier to train." And I said, "What are we talking about here? You know, my son is still in diapers, and you know, my girl, she was out of diapers at this age." I said, "Well, what are you doing? I'm trying to teach him how to pee. Well, what are you doing? Teach him how to pee sitting down." I said, boys don't pee. Men don't pee sitting down. We pee standing up. That's why he's having a hard time. That's not going to work. Y'all think I'm playing with y'all. This stuff comes out comical, but this stuff is true. I'm sitting there going like, you cannot train this boy to sit down. No, he's got to stand up. He's got to stand up and pee. Jeremiah, I believe, was potty trained at 2 and a half, somewhere around there. We can't be keep buying diapers. My point is, you have to understand the best person who can train that son is that man. Because I know the parts. And I know how the part works. Understand what I'm saying? You don't know how the part works. I do. You can't take a car to an airplane place. That's not going to work. You can't take it to a boat. Amen? It ain't going to work out there. You got to give it to the person that has the same parts. limits are going to be pushed. But you got to be strong, parents. You can't let your children outsmart you, outmaneuver you, because they are. Even though that's that cute little baby that you raised, and they use their little facial expression. I used to do it to my mama, too. I used to use my eyes to get her. It worked to a degree. But then she got to the point where start saying, Bob, you deal with them. I'm like, oh, I ain't want that. I didn't like that. My mom's at a point, she stopped disciplining us. When I say stop, I mean she allowed Bob to come in and she allowed Bob to discipline us. She was pretty much on the verge, like, hands off. Okay? And she started letting Bob deal with us, and I didn't like it one bit. I wanted to get whooped by my mother. I did. But when Bob, it was different. It hurt. That was the big difference. So I was teaching my kids, right? We were having Bible study the other night. And I was teaching them. I said, children, obey your parents. And I was telling them how I was when I was growing up, how I got in trouble and how I got whoopings. You know, I got in trouble for not making up my bed when I left the room and all of these things, not doing the dishes or not cutting the grass. I said, I got in trouble for those things. I said, even got a whooping by my parents. They was like, hold up, you got whoopings? I said, yes. They said, hold up. So they want to dig. They want to know more. So Sabrina Jeremiah was like, grandma whooped you? I said, yes, your grandmama whooped me. They was like, hold up. Grandma. They told me to say, sweet little grandma whooped you. I said, yes, she did. She whooped me. Papa whooped you too? I said, yes, he did. Both of them. They was like, I'm just not seeing this. I said, this was before time. I told them it happened. They can't believe that their grandparents used the belt. I said, they may not have used it on you, but they sure enough used it on me. Paul teaches the church to obey your parents in the Lord. In the Lord, which means we can honor, serve the Lord when we obey our parents. Paul teaches that the church in this verse is obedience to our parents is the right thing to do. We have a generation that is filled with disobedience, and they have lack of respect. And let me tell you something. If children don't respect their parents, you cannot expect them to respect you. That's why the teachers are having all these problems in the schools. It's because there's no respect at home. And if there's no respect at home, I'm sure that's where the problem lies from, is at home. I'm sure some of the young people may have seen it, but did y'all see the video where this guy picked up this grandmother and body slammed her? And then threw her in the pool? Didn't even know if she could swim or not? Y'all see what I'm saying? Disrespectful. The woman was trying to talk to them, and the boy, anger came out of him. He picked her up, body slammed her, and threw her in the pool. Disrespectful generation. Now, let me tell you this. You want to know why we got a lot of young people dying? Because God said, honor your father and your mother that your days may be long. Because children are disrespectful to their parents, their days are being cut short. That's what's happening. We're trying to figure out all these young people dying. Okay, let's go to the scripture. It says it in here. Okay? The Bible tells us It says, honor, is in verse 2, honor thy father and thy mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. The children that you're seeing dying are people that are disrespecting their parents. There's no respect. Sometimes parents, as I said, children will push the limits. There may be some parties they want to go to. You got to tell them no. Why? Why are you telling them no? Well, because there are some disrespectful children out there that likes to do things that they're not supposed to do. What will happen? Well, let's just say this. Your child may be an A student, may be on the honor society, may be in all kind of stuff. But you know what? That bullet don't care. That bullet does not care. Innocent bystander. I remember one time when I went to the club when I was about 18, 19 years old, and this one girl, she was waving and got shot in the hand. My point is, I'm trying, see, when parents try to teach children this, they always want to say, well, that was y'all. That was y'all. That was y'all. That was y'all. Well, y'all are not us. That y'all become us. Young people dying early because they're not listening to the teaching of their parents. The devil has always been and is an enemy of God and everything God has created and made. Satan is the greatest enemy of the home and works hard to destroy family relationships. You know, the one thing Satan loves to do is cause division in the home. He loves to divide, okay? He loves to cause division in homes. Because if he can divide the home, then he understands he can conquer that home. It's just that simple. His greatest desire is to destroy every home. The reason the devil has been so successful in every generation is for obvious reason. Listen to this. First, our nation is filled with unbelievers who refuse to acknowledge God's word. People don't want to acknowledge God's word. They don't even want to believe in God. Second, our government has changed the definition of a family and believes they own our children, that they can tell us how to raise our children. Third, many educational institutions do not have the same respect for the home as they have had in the past. In the past, when I was growing up, when I was in school, when you did something wrong, they would send you to the teacher that can whoop. Imagine they would give you, I was in the black school district. They would give you the paddle. The teacher, the woman teacher would give you the paddle. You go into your sentencing with the weapon in hand. You knock on the door to the teacher. And in our day, it was this man, big man, you know. It was like, my teacher told me to tell you that I need a whooping. Y'all think I'm playing. This stuff is serious. So you would go there and you would get your swats. Then you would go back down. The teacher would know you got a whooping because you come back crying. Unless you can go in there and do it real good, get some water and, you know, put it on you. But then she'll verify it later. Then you get another whooping. My point is, you have to understand, back then in schools, they had a process. The process worked. Didn't have a lot of school shootings. You understand what I'm saying? You ain't have a lot of school shootings. But nowadays, parents, you got to be kidding me. You don't know what's in your son's room. You don't know what's in your child's room. You mean to tell me you haven't done inspection? You mean to tell me when they, watch when they interview the parents. The parents always say, well, I didn't know he was like that. I didn't, you know, they always make an excuse for their child. Yes, they knew that the boy was crazy. The boy needed some attention. I mean, let's just be real. But see, here's the thing. You didn't want to be bothered with him. How many of y'all know that when you don't want to be bothered with somebody, you just let them just do whatever they want to do? That's what teachers do. When I was coming up, when the teachers got tired of these students, and the students was a problem, and the students wasn't passing, guess what the teacher did? They passed them on to the next grade. Why would you pass them on? They said, I don't want to be bothered with their food next year. Y'all think I'm playing with you? That's what they said. They said, I'm hurting him by passing him on. They ain't learned nothing. So they thinking that they passed on, yeah, they just passing them along. And then at some point, you know, you can't be a 21-year-old around teenagers. Because I remember being in the eighth grade and this guy was like 18 years old. I was like, and the students are bad on you too. The students was like, you ain't gonna be around us too much long. We can't have adults around us. Students start cracking on them. Here's the other thing, the fourth one, the last one. Christians have failed to discipline their children properly and teach them God's word, especially when it comes to family. Teach my children. I'm your father. Here's your mother. This is a family. This is how God ordained it. Many people think the devil is at work in the dark streets, on our cities, the place where pimps and prostitutes and drug dealers and loan sharks are lurking. What we fail to realize is that Satan is at work in God's house, and he's after God's people. Satan's desire is to do his dirty deeds right here in the church where we fellowship among each other, and we are relying on God. In other words, if you are not actively serving God, Satan is not so concerned with you because you are not a threat to him. The reason why Satan said to Peter, what Jesus said to Peter, Satan desires to sift you as wheat. You want to know why that was said to Peter? Because Peter would become a threat to the kingdom of Satan. After Pentecost, yeah, Peter was a little weak now, but Satan was trying to take him out before he got his strength. He was trying, and Jesus said, Peter, let me tell you something, man. I know what Satan is about to do. Satan wants to sift you. In other words, he wants to knock you around. He wants to do this to you, man. I'm trying to tell you. Preach my word. He's trying to tell you. And then Jesus said, I pray for you, Peter. I'm praying for you. Because you get ready to deal with something. He knew that, yes, he would deny him. Yes, he would. They would go in hiding. But Jesus also knew that after Pentecost, when the Holy Ghost came, that Peter would have power. Satan also, see, we think that Satan don't know. Yes, he do. He knows. That's why he was going after Peter. Peter was the ringleader. Jesus said to him, Peter, upon this rock, build my church. He was letting Peter know. Satan knows, you all. He's not a dummy. As I told you last Sunday, he's one of the most intelligent beings. Satan is doing his work in the house of prayer. Cause division. It could be anything. You name it. It's on there. The devil is working to hinder the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you are working in the household of prayer, faithfully working and giving your all, you are a target. You got a target on you. Satan is going to come after you. I told my wife, I said, if Satan can't get get me, he's going to come and get you. And if he can't get you, he's going to come and our kids. He's going to find some kind of way to get it. When you're on a, if you know football, you find out where that weakest link is. When you find out where that weakest link is, that's the side you go to. I remember when my brother was playing high school football, and it was big, he was a big guy. He was shutting down East St. Louis running game. Every time they ran to that side, he was throwing them aside. Ricky was there throwing them aside, and he was popping that guy in the backfield. So guess what? They looked at the film. They said, let's run to the other side where he's weak over there. And they ran to the other side, and the guy was getting yardage. But as long as they ran on that side, they were getting shut down. So what were they doing? Looking for the weakest link in the defense. Y'all understand what I'm saying? That's what Satan does. Looks for the weakest link. If he can get us to fail, he knows that it means less people will be opened up to the ministry. So if he can work on us and get us to fall out of church, he knows that he's doing his job. Satan desires to trip up the preacher, the deacon, Sunday school teacher, anybody that is doing the work of the Lord. If you are not doing anything for Christ, you ain't no concern. Let me say this to you. Again, if I'm on a ball field, I ain't worrying about that person on the bench. Person ain't no threat to me. You want to know why? Because they're on the sideline. The person that I'm concerned about is the one that's on the field. That's active. That is working. That is prohibiting me from doing what I need to do. I am not concerned with sideline folks. Y'all follow me? You are no threat to me. Matter of fact, the fact that you're sitting on the sideline, you're probably cold and stiff. You understand what I'm saying? No disrespect, but normally when you're cold and stiff, you put that person in the morgue. Am I right? I know I'm right. I used to work in x-ray because when we x-rayed the bodies, they came out of the morgue cold and stiff. Told you I'm preaching what I see. We must also remember that he that is greater in us is greater than he that is in this world. Amen? We must, as Christians, rededicate ourselves to the Lord who intercedes for us. We have to rededicate ourselves to the Lord. Amen? The Bible talks about in the last days. I've said this before in 2 Timothy chapter 3. In verse 1, it says, this know also, that in the last days perilous times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetousness, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truth breakers, false accusers, incontent. All, y'all see all this stuff? Isn't this stuff going on now? That's talking about the last days. All this disrespect. Nothing. Nobody. All of it. You go to verse 4. It talks about all this stuff in verse 4 as well. And then, not to read everything, but in verse 5. Let me tell y'all something. When God spoke his word, he knew what he was talking about. Amen? It is the parents' responsibility to teach their children. Without learning obedience from parents, children will run wild. That's what we have here today in our society. Now, people say, you can't blame it all on the parents. It's got to start somewhere. I can't blame that on, you know, other things. It starts in the home. I let my children know early on in life who's the daddy. Amen? I let them know who's the parent. See, y'all have to understand, whatever you name, you have authority over that. That's why God said, Adam, name all these. He said, I'm going to give you dominion. Adam named it. He had dominion over all of that. He named it. Your child didn't name you. That child got your name. That's why I tell my kids, you got your daddy name. Got your daddy blood on it too. Y'all better believe that. Understand what I'm saying. Your children don't have authority over you. If they get mad at you, I promise you, they'll be fine. I'm telling you, they're going to be just fine. You got them right where you want them, mad at you. Okay? They're going to be all right. They're going to live. Okay? Trust me, I've been through this. They're going to live. You know, kids can want all that stuff. And you say, no, you ain't getting that. Why? Because we got to pay tithes. We can't go to Six Flags because we got to pay bills. You can't do those things. See, let me tell you something. Kids don't understand all that. It's your job to help them. When I say no means no. And then you just do this. You want to talk about it? Y'all remember good times? You need shows like that, but they won't air that no more. James is saying, you want to talk about it? Michael be like, no. He said it's an open and closed case. Michael didn't want to have nothing to do with that. The Bible says, honor your father and mother. It's the first commandment. We need to learn to respect God's word. The health of the family reflects the health of the nation. If the family is not healthy, then this nation is not going to be healthy. The city is not going to be healthy. Community, all of that is not going to be healthy because the family is not healthy. You know, one of the things that the people when my children started going to TLC, you know, the daycare, and then they graduated out, and the teachers were sad. They was like, y'all have any more children? We're like, no. It ain't our job to just populate the earth. They're everybody else's job too. God told all of us to be fruitful and multiply. He ain't tell us to populate this city. But what I'm saying is that the people respected our children because all that chaos, they was telling us, you know, kids running around every place. They trying to get them to take pictures. They trying to get them to do all of this, a group picture. They said, our children, sit there and wait to be told what to be. They was like, they ain't seen that before. But they were saying, they was giving us respect, and they was telling us that they understand, they like the teaching that our children were displaying because they know they were being taught at home. What they were saying was, your children are being taught at home because it's a reflection of what we're seeing here at the school. One child, they was telling me about one boy. The boy was just bad little boy. And they said, they were telling the boy, I'm going to tell your daddy. The boy said, tell him. High-pitched boy, tell him. Understand what I'm saying? The boy said, tell his daddy. He said, he ain't going to do nothing. Y'all understand what I'm saying? This child already knows at an early age that his daddy ain't going to do nothing. And they told me that child was right because they said when the daddy came to pick them up, they said they told his daddy, and his daddy was basically like, so? That's the problem. Y'all follow me? You got a parent that says, so? And the child, that's why you can't do everything in front of children. Because the child was like, told you wasn't going to do nothing. I ain't making this stuff up. I can bring the teachers in here that give a testimony right here. That's why they were saying, y'all have any more children? No, we done paying your salary. We ain't doing that no more. Kids who have learned to honor their parents, in turn, respect those in authority over them. It's just that simple, y'all. This enables them to be upright, law-abiding citizens. Y'all, let me tell you, I grew up with a lot of cousins when we was coming up. And I'm going to tell you what our parents said to us. We would go to the mall. We in numbers. We strong. You tend to do things when you got somebody with you. Our parents told us, y'all go to jail. We ain't getting you out. That was mainly the men. They was letting us know. We ain't get ready to put up bail for you out there acting a fool. They told us, don't pick up nothing. Don't do anything stupid. Go up there, do what you got to do. Come on back home. You will get locked up. You get locked up, ain't nobody losing no sleep over you. Ain't nobody pawning no house over you. Those rules still applies today for those old school parents. And then when they do get you out of, and then when you do get out of jail, and you do make it home some kind of way, I don't know if they give you a bus fare or what, but when you do make it to the house, then you in trouble. Because you weren't at home when you were supposed to be at home. God designed parents to teach the children. That is the number one relationship that we have on earth, is a family relationship with one another. In Genesis chapter 1 and 26, God said, let us make man in our image and after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish and over the sea and over the fowls of the earth. God has given us dominion over the things on this earth. These verses are recorded before the fall of man, in which means God intended for Adam and Eve to be fruitful and multiply and fill the earth with children. And God added pain to childbirth as a part of the curse for Eve's sin. So when you sin, there is consequences for it. When Adam and Eve sinned, the consequences for that was childbirth pain. And that still is today. I remember when my wife was giving birth to Jeremiah, she was in pain. Now, she didn't get a shot or anything like that, and she was in a lot of pain. And it reminded me of that scripture, what God had said, and because of the sin, this is what you would have to endure. So my wife was in a lot of pain. She was jerking on the bed and everything, and you know, being a guy, you know, I mean, I didn't feel the pain, but I can see what she was dealing with. And the one thing that was coming to my mind is the way she's jerking on the bed is that covered in my insurance? I'm just kidding. But I wanted to make sure she was okay. I did. I wanted to make sure she was okay. After I found out she was okay, then I wanted to know, would that be in insurance? God instituted the family, therefore gave responsibility and guidelines to each member of the family, including the children. To reward the obedience of children, the Lord gave conditional promise. When children obey their parents in the Lord, God promised that it may go well with you and that you may live a long life. You will live a long time if you obey your parents. Isn't that something? And look what we have today. Children disrespecting their parents. And they're living a short life. The Lord has given men the responsibility being the spiritual leader in the home. It is the father's job to raise their children in the discipline and instruction of the Lord. But in many cases, we all know that the mother is doing the raising. Fathers are absent. Fathers are not involved. Fathers are not there. That is a shame. But fathers need to be actively involved. Teach your children to respect you. Honor and respect must be taught. No child is going to grow up coming out saying yes, sir, and no, sir. I remember we had to teach words to our children. Let them see sight words and things like that so they understand how to speak. Nobody comes out speaking a full sentence. That stuff has to be taught. How do you teach that? Well, I know when you're teaching somebody, you got to get down and spend time with them. That's the only way somebody learns. The Bible says, children, obey your parents and you will live long. This is a true statement. To not believe it, that's not true, see how all the children are dying today. Does that tell you that God's word is true? I guarantee you, if we clean up the home first, everything else will get in order. Because that's where it starts at. Where are the people coming out of? They're coming out of homes. All these people, these children that are hanging out late at night, they're coming out of homes. They're going into homes. If we clean up the homes, you'll clean up the streets. In Proverbs, it said, train up a child in the way it should go. And when he's old, he won't depart. If you're training up a child, that child will not depart from God's word. I was raised in a Christian home, Christian family. But guess what? I wasn't a Christian. I wasn't a Christian. My parents were. My family were. But I wasn't. But I still was taught, regardless if I wanted to hear it or not. And look at me today. I'm a preacher. See, here's the thing. Our primary problem is really not Satan. We are our biggest issue. We always want to say Satan, Satan, Satan. No. I had my son pointed at me the other day, and I told him, I said, look at you. I said, you pointing at me, trying to blame me for something. I told him, I said, you got three fingers pointing right back at you. And he looked, and he was trying to figure out what Sabrina had to tell him. Right there, Jeremiah. Jeremiah did like this. He saw the three fingers pointing back at him. And Sabrina just kind of rolled eyes and went the other way. Tell y'all, that little girl's something else. She was letting them know, Dad is right. You got three fingers pointing back at you. Trying to blame. We often try to blame somebody else and point the finger at somebody else, but we got three pointing back at us. The biggest enemy is not Satan, it's ourselves. The enemy we face is defeated. You understand what I'm saying? He's defeated. Satan has been bound through God's judgment and through the cross. He's defeated. He has a leash on him. Yes, just like a dog tied to a tree, he has a boundary. You go over there and cross over that boundary, you in trouble. Now, how do I know that the dog has a boundary? You can just about tell where the grass ain't growing. Am I right? Where the grass ain't growing, if I were you, I wouldn't cross over there, even though he's not there. But when he comes out, that lets you know that's his boundary. So Satan does has a boundary. Yes, he's moving, he's active, he's walking around, but there's boundaries put on him. Remember what God said. Satan went to God, wanted to get Job. He said, do everything you want, but spare his life. So in other words, there's a boundary. You can't touch his life. Satan has been bound through God's judgment, the cross. Satan is being bound through the preaching of the gospel also. What a gospel is being preached. I'm talking about for real, for real. What a gospel is being preached, Satan can't stand it. We need to understand, we do not wrestle against flesh, but of principality and powers. But the devil has his forces that are coming up against us. We're to stand against Satan, but standing is not simply waiting and deflecting the arrows of the enemy. Paul said in Ephesians to stand. Basically what he was saying is, you know, stand, but you got to be doing something. Paul's own standing meant that he would faithfully evangelize even if the war cost him his life. Satan's goal is to keep us from proclaiming and living out the gospel that sets people free. This is why we are to put on the whole armor of God, not so that we can defend ourselves, but so that we can march into the enemy's kingdom and do the work of the Great Commission. There's a reason why you put on your gear. It ain't just for you to be walking around with it on. It's for you to go into the enemy's territory and take back what the devil has took from you. As I get ready to close it out, Satan is evil, wicked, does not like God, hates God, hates God, okay? Satan hates you and me and all humanity because we are the crowning creation in God's world. We are the crowning creation. Satan is not equal with God, but is created by God and under the ultimate authority of a sovereign God. His destiny is eternal destruction in hell. So now, knowing the enemy changes my activity. Amen? Changes my activity. Since I know these things about my enemy, I have to change my activities now. So what do I have to do? I got to read the Bible. So you will know the truth when you read the Bible. You have to also stay alert. And then you also have to preach to yourself. Amen? If Pastor Ronnie is not around, you got to preach to yourself. When Jesus was in a difficult place and the devil tried to get him to buy into the lies, Jesus responded by recalling God's promises in the Bible. When Satan destroyed it and other excerpts from the Bible, Jesus responded with more scripture. Y'all know how somebody quotes you half a scripture? And you have to say, hold up, what else? That's what Satan was doing. Jesus being the word, he was like, no, let me tell you what it says. Both God and Satan are real, but not equal. So I must pursue godliness, holiness, humility, and genuine love for God. I must be aware and sober and vigilant in my struggles against the spiritual powers and influence I cannot see, but I battle daily against them nonetheless. I must also be on offense. See, you got to take it to them. As long as you're, if you know what, if your defense is always on the field, that means you ain't scoring. That's a problem. I remember we had a coach. He said to us, we were thirsty, boy. We was out there and that sun was beating down on us. And coach looked at us. He said, hey, the only way you get this, you come on in, but you got to get them outs first. And so we was like, we get ready to get these outs. He was on the sideline drinking. Not like drinking, but he was on the sideline with some water. And we wanted that water. What I'm saying is, as long as you're on defense, you never be on offense. In order to get on offense, you got to have the determination to get off on defense. Amen? So we have to fight this fight of faith. We have to avoid people and perception that would tempt me to compromise. We don't compromise. I like how the United States say, we don't negotiate with terrorists. That sounds good, but we don't know what they doing in that White House. Let's just be real, y'all. We don't know what they doing. We know what they tell us, but we don't know what they doing. But I tell you what Satan likes. Satan likes the division that's going on in this country because you can't get anything going. So what I'm saying to you is we can't compromise. If God's word say this, hey, if the government says you got to stop preaching the word of God, I'm going to say, well, y'all going to have to lock me up because that's what I need to do. I can't compromise. There is too much to lose to live as if our enemy is not real. You can't go to hell and figure it out is real and then think you at the Holiday Inn and gonna check out at noon. That's not gonna work. The Holiday Inn wants you out of there because you ain't paying nothing. But when you're down there and you're there, there is no getting out. Y'all remember the rich man? He was down in hell. He said, hey, send Lazarus over to cool my tongue. That means he could feel. That means it was hot. That means he couldn't quench his thirst. That means he was burning. But his same personality was still in hell. We need to understand, you not believing it don't stop it from being true. Amen? Many people gonna go there and find out, ooh, I don't know if that's the first thing they're gonna say. But I know it's gonna be something. I know it's gonna be hot. Amen? I know it's not gonna be pleasant. It's not gonna be comfortable. But I understand this, that hell is real, and I'm not gonna go and find out. Will it hurt you to do something good for your fellow brothers and sisters in Christ? Will it hurt you to worship and praise God? Will it hurt you to lift up your hands? Will it hurt you to stand up? Will it hurt you to clap your hands? Will it hurt you to say hallelujah? Will it hurt you to say praise God? Will it hurt you to say thank you, Jesus? Will it hurt you to run around the church? Will it hurt you to come every Sunday? Will it hurt you? No, that's nothing compared to where you could be. Amen? You could be someplace else where you could be saying, send somebody to cool my tongue. Send somebody to fan me. Send somebody. I'm down here burning up and I want to get out, but I can't because you have chosen your destination. But those of you who worships God and praise his holy name, you won't be happy. You don't have to worry about that because you're going to be in heaven worshiping, praising him, singing praises to the Lord all day long, singing and never getting tired. That's what you're going to be doing, glorifying God. No worry about what the government is doing. Ain't got to be concerned with who in the White House, who's going behind your back, because God is all the way around you. Everybody in there is worshiping, praising God. You ain't got to worry about fake people because fake people ain't even up there. Matter of fact, good people ain't even up there. Only those who worship and praise God. That's where we want to be. With God in paradise. This is preparation for what we're getting ready to do. Some people say it's a rehearsal for what we're getting ready to do. So join in and praise God. Enjoy the worshiping. Enjoy what God has done for you. All you got to do when you get down, start preaching to yourself. Start going to God's word and walking and talking and preaching to yourself. Folks get laid off on a job to say, God, your word said, if many will fall, it won't come by me. And if God does move you off your job, know he's got something better for you. Amen.